First reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, the 21st chapter. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as a kid, we moved around a lot. So much so that I like to make a wisecrack if anyone ever asks me, "Well, where are you from? How much time do you have?" is what I respond. But I guess if you could put my childhood into a pie chart, one slice of that pie would be an army brat, as my dad was in active duty in Hawaii for 4 years. A slice of that would be seminary student's child, where my dad attended Fort Wayne, the seminary in Fort Wayne. But a big slice of that would be PK, or pastor's kid. At this point, some of you are probably like, well, that explains it then, doesn't it? That is why he is the way that he is. Seriously, though, for the most part, though, that pie was good. The pie was good. As long as I had my loving, fantastic mom and dad, my parents with me, I was okay. No matter where we went, if they were with me, I was okay because I knew that they loved me. And I knew that they always had my best interest in mind, and I knew that they would always take care of me. But having to start over, new schools, new churches, new people, new living arrangements, new friends, all of that stuff, that can be hard on a kid. I remember one of those years, I was maybe 10 or so. Pretty sure it was the fourth grade. It was the year after I just spent third grade at St. Paul's in Fort Dodge, Iowa, with my buddy and my classmate Don Rupti, who is now Don Mullins, in my third grade class in Fort Dodge. Anyway, I remember the next year after I left Fort Dodge, I remember I was about to begin a new school year at a new place, this time in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was all set. I was ready to go. I had my backpack filled up. I was sporting my new clothes. And of course, I had those thick rimmed glasses that cover like half your face. And I don't know why, but for some reason, back in the 80s and 90s, people thought that looked good. I blame my parents for that. But as my mother was walking me to school through the parking lot on that first day of school, I had an absolute meltdown. I was done. I broke down crying. I clung to my mom's leg. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to meet new people. I didn't want to have to tour another school, make new friends, learn my way around a strange new place. I just wanted to stay home with my mom and my dad and the comfort of their presence with mom and dad, knowing that they love me and care for me. Maybe you can remember times like that in your own life. You've probably seen it in your kids or grandkids because it's pretty common, and it's called separation anxiety. It's normal, and it can be expected, especially in children. And I think that separation anxiety that we all experience at one time or another, I think that that can be expected because deep down it mirrors something, a greater truth. The dread that we all have, that we all experience because we are separated from our Heavenly Father due to our sin. But in this life anyway, as eventually we mature, hopefully we mature into healthy adults, and hopefully then it gets better. We become more confident and more secure, and we are able to move past our separation anxiety, hopefully. I tell you this story because I believe that it was a similar situation for the disciples. They had been with Jesus for 3 years in Jesus' presence, in the comfort of his presence. For they knew that in his presence, he loved them. He taught them. He cared for them. He corrected them when they erred. He rebuked them when they sinned. He always had their best interest in mind, and he always took care of them. Now, in our gospel reading, and now in the night that he's betrayed, back in the upper room, Jesus knows that he is about to be glorified. That is, in just a few hours, he would be lifted up for the world to gaze upon him, for all eyes to see that this is the salvation of the Lord. Being nailed to a cross and dying is his glorification. So Jesus knew that those 3 days in the tomb, where he lay in the tomb, that was going to cause a great amount of separation anxiety in his disciples. And so he speaks a comforting word to them. he says to them once again, he prepares them in verse 33 in particular of our gospel reading from John chapter 13. He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And as I said to the just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." Notice how Jesus addresses his disciples, "little children." Obviously, that is an affectionate, loving term of endearment, really, right? They are his precious, dear, little children, his beloved children. And in a certain sense, they always will be children. But that saying, "little children," also implies a certain level of immaturity with it as well. They still are little children. They haven't quite matured into the men that God has called them to be, that they will need to be in the face of persecution, perhaps even martyrdom. "Where I am going, you cannot come," Jesus says, for this is his mission to accomplish. He is the one who is going to the cross, not them. He will be going to the cross to offer up his life as a sacrifice for all men, to forgive the sins of the world, no distinction. And now the hour had come, and in just a little while, it will appear to the disciples that Jesus has died and he has left them, that they have been left behind, abandoned by God. So do you recall then how the disciples reacted as Jesus laid in the tomb? Well, initially, when everything went down in the Garden of Eden, right, they scattered and they ran away, trying to cover their own skin. But later, they would gather together, they would huddle together in the upper room once again, cowering behind locked doors, confused, scared, doubting, and mourning the death of Jesus. You might call they had a severe case of separation anxiety. In verse 33, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his imminent death. But of course, Jesus knows, and he's told them, he knows that he is going to rise Sunday morning, that this is not the end. So for a little while, he knows that he will rise Sunday morning, that Easter is coming, and we are in the Easter season still, dear saints. So Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus' resurrection and the subsequent appearing to his disciples many times throughout the next 40 days, that is going to quickly change their confusion to certainty. Their fear now is going to give way to comfort. Their sadness is going to be turned to joy. And their separation anxiety is going to be calmed in Christ's presence once again. 40 days. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples and many others. He walked with them. He ate with them. He taught them. He strengthened them. And he forgave them. And during those 40 days, you might say, and again, there's a sense in which you're always a little child before God, but you might say that these little children, these disciples, grew up and became men in those 40 days. The men that they were called to be and would very soon need to be, their faith matured. It grew. It was strengthened. They become confident and they become secure, not in themselves, not in their own abilities, not in their own reason or strength, but in Christ, the risen Lord Jesus alone. Jesus graciously prepares his beloved disciples because, once again, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus is preparing them. He is going to ascend and return back to his Father in heaven, back to the place where he has sat at the right hand of God from the foundation of the world, from the eternity, which, by the way, so I didn't make announcements at the beginning of service, here's my announcement. We will be celebrating Ascension Day, Thursday, May 29th, 6:30, with a divine service right here with my good friend, the Reverend Alex Post, preaching as our guest preacher. He is the pastor at Redeemer in Marshalltown. So come and celebrate the ascension of our Lord. But Christ's ascension back to the right hand of the Father, that had potential once again to cause a great deal of separation anxiety in the disciples. But how did the disciples react when Jesus is lifted up? And as the text says, the cloud took them from their sight. How did they respond to that? Separation anxiety? No. The last two verses of Luke say, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God, blessing God. Acts 1 records, with one accord, united together, with one mind, with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And the book of Acts goes on to record, not the least of which is our first reading from Acts chapter 11, where discussing Peter. But Acts records how the disciples that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are confident. And they confidently go out and they proclaim Christ's death and resurrection to all people. Again, no distinction. How they boldly preached repentance and faith and baptism and the forgiveness of sins in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in the face of persecution and eventually martyrdom. And we're told that they loved one another as Christ loved them. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And they loved by teaching others to obey Christ's commandments. That's love. Caring and providing for them in both body and soul, correcting them where they erred, and comforting with the gracious good news of the forgiveness in Christ's presence. Well, so much for separation anxiety when Christ ascends back into heaven then, huh? Because the living and risen Lord Jesus Christ was with them, just as he promised. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In Christ, their sin no longer separates them from the Father in heaven. They are reconciled, one, united with God. And even though Christ was taken from their sight, visibly, they knew, they trusted, they believed the promise, "Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So take heart, dear saints. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen, but yet have believed. Although we do not visibly see the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior Jesus is present and active here among us, just as he promised. He is present, bringing his precious little children to himself through the waters of holy baptism into his family. He is forgiving us, giving us the Holy Spirit, who is closer to you than anything in all of the world because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Your body is his temple. He hasn't left you as orphans. Far from it. He continues to come to you, to forgive you and to strengthen you with his word and with his supper, his very body and blood, his presence here for you. Christ, our teacher, our friend, our God, our Savior, is with us and he is in us, feeding us, strengthening us with his word and sacrament as we continue to grow, hopefully, grow and mature into healthy, loving, faithful adult children. As together, united with one mind, together, we look forward to the day that is written in our epistle reading, that behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. God is dwelling with man in the new heavens and the new earth. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. It is done, Jesus says. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you are not alone. In Christ, you will never be alone. So separation anxiety be gone away from us because on account of Christ, our sins no longer separate us from God, our Father in heaven. They're forgiven, removed, gone. You are forgiven. You are loved. And your living Lord and Savior is here, present for you and with you and in you. And he remains present for you. And in his presence, he turns your confusion to certainty, your fear to comfort, your sadness to joy. And he calms your separation anxiety with his presence again and again and again. In his presence, there is comfort because he loves you like no other. No other can love you. Not mom, not dad, no other can love you as Christ loves you. And he always has your best interest in mind, and he will always care for you. So you can be confident. You can be secure. Not in yourselves, not in your own ability, not in your own reason, not in your own strength. Your confidence and your security is in the crucified, risen, and living Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.